Good afternoon, everyone. We are continuing now with program number 24, Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, Section 1, Part 5, Video Commentary. And today is the 11th of August, 2021. It's the day before Madame Blavatsky's birthday, and also 2 days before the founding of the University of the Seven Rays, back in 1987. Well, we have some interesting things going on here. The Tibetan is giving us a series of questions. And let's see if I have a little segue here. Possibly I do. Possibly. I always like to have a segue. Well, anyway, he's given us the results of mental polarization. And he says they are brought about by definite meditation and the cultivation of the meditative attitude. It's an attitude of alertness on all levels, and of not ignoring anything that may be of moment within the personality, and yet ignoring it as if one were identified with it. Okay, going on with the text, he says, "This is not new information for you, but it is something which as yet remains unexpressed practically." And I suppose, if I may say, he's talking about merging your desire or your aspiration into the group life and for the sake of the group good, so that glamour must eventually give place to reality, and the pure light of the mind must pour into all the dark places of the lower nature, the so-called, you know, bottom of the aura, which has to be stirred up and cleansed before the Christ consciousness can really enter the individual, and in a much larger sense, stirred up and expiated before the soul can really dominate the nation, any nation, and before this soul or angel of the presence can dominate and overcome, shall we say, the personality of humanity as a whole. So the idea behind it is, look, we haven't achieved this. And then he goes on to what's important in our work today. If you will ask yourselves the following questions, and courageously and truthfully make reply before the bar of your own soul, let me say that would be the judgment seat of your own soul, the place where the judge is seated, then he says, you will learn much and greatly increase your development. And may I add that that, of course, is the goal of this expert teacher, to increase our development, which along certain lines we have been studying, sensitivity, impersonality, psychic powers of the higher kind, and finally, mental polarization, or at the very least, the ability to hold the mind steady in the light of the soul. So we're going to look at these questions from program 24, and as it'll be a partially meditative approach, which you can extend on your own, because the questions are important. So we don't expect we can come up with any kind of complete answer right now. But we can become at least a little familiar with the questions that he wants us to ask and courageously face before the judgment seat or the bar of our own soul. So the very first question: what do you understand by spiritual sensitivity? So I'll repeat that. What do you understand by spiritual sensitivity? Now, let me add that DK has given us quite a expanded view of spiritual sensitivity, or just of sensitivity. I think in the last program, or one of the last programs, we reviewed. So let's go in and realizing it's not the glamored self-centered sensitivity of the astral body. It's not that. Let's go in and see what we think. What do you understand by spiritual sensitivity? You see, maybe what's important here is not to go back and to review the very intelligent dilation on the subject, expansion of the subject, which Master DK has given us, but we have to be truthful what we understand by it. We understand. And of course, one day we will perhaps develop, well, I would say inevitably develop what DK suggests we must if we are to be sensitive. But how does it stand with us right now? And with such questions, it's probably a good thing to answer what we understand by the quality being mentioned, and also what we actually, from personal individual experience, know it not to be. And may I add that if we have a good idea about how to answer this question from our own perspective, you might want to write it down as to be able to expand it later. Now, the next question, these are such direct questions, and this is pretty well a meditation, isn't it? What we're doing here, I could tell you my responses, but I wouldn't want them to overshadow or in some ways dominate or substitute for your responses. So, point A, have you ever truthfully felt my vibration? Now, Let me say there are so many vibrations. So among the kinds of impressions that we may have felt, have we been able to discriminate when it was Master DK's vibration? And especially this would be so in the case of those who have entered at least the stage of accepted discipleship. So let's ponder a little. Have you ever truthfully felt my vibration? And, well, you see, of course, we could take longer with these, but I just want to give us a bit of a start. This is a very important series of questions to be responded to in the light of the soul, if possible, and as truthfully as we possibly can. This is these are questions beyond hope and idealism. These are questions about factual behavior. Point C, in what way, B, do you respond more rapidly to the quality of a brother's faults than to his divine characteristics? In a way, we're asking whether we can actually see our brother as a soul rather than to be drawn in by the still present faults of his or her personality. So, point B, let's ponder a little. Yeah. And then point C, in what way does criticism interfere with true spiritual sensitivity? This is, let me say, perhaps a more general question and is not necessarily directed to your behavior, but maybe from your behavior, my behavior, we can determine the way that criticism does interfere with true spiritual sensitivity. So a few moments on that. Maybe each one of us comes up with different kinds of answers here, but we do know that criticism is one of the main causes of glamour, and it does widen the gulf between people. It is a separative act. It's not the same as what DK does. Let me, he says, let me help you analyze this problem, which is a clear, more objective, scientific look at the issue, whereas criticism is so often a tearing down, and even a negating of people's best efforts. I've witnessed, well, so often, been guilty of course, but witnessed a friend commenting on an associate's singing with a cruel ha. What did that do? Did it help anybody? It was just like a ha that had detected a fault without offering any solution. Right, going on. What do you feel personally hinders your development of this required sensitivity? So this is again directed to us as individuals. Because sensitivity is required. So our answer to each, to this one, will be distinctive of our character and our insight. So again, what do you feel personally? Let me pause to say, obviously, DK thinks it's important to feel personally. He wouldn't use those words. What do you feel personally hinders your development of this required sensitivity? And I will, let's take some few moments to at least become familiar with the kind of impressions that we may get and which we may expand when we're taking these questions up under a wider time frame. I might say here that sometimes a lack of interest in the functioning of certain areas of the personality, or a lack of interest in the soul and its experiences, negates the possibility of impression. And by that impression, we would have the chance of becoming more sensitive. So do check on that in which you have a keen interest, and that which is that's not interesting to you. What I could say now might sound like criticism, but in a dialogue about self-observation and a clear understanding of self, the response came from an individual, "I'm just not interested." Well, sensitivity will not develop when there is not even the will to have a look at one's character and behavior and so forth. Anyway, we're just getting started here, and your ideas are the important ones here, not what I might say. Define impersonality. Well, DK has done a good job, but let's see what we think. Of course, I think we realize that an essay could be written about any one of these questions. And as DK says, the learning would be considerable. Well, here's one that is, okay, point A. Do you know the distinction between the impersonality of the first-ray type and true spiritual impersonality? Now, obviously, DK is pointing to the fact that there is a distinction and that it's important to know the distinction, or at least what we think the distinction may be. Well, let me say that we do want to be pursuing these questions. Excuse me, it's a little chilly in here. We do want to pursue these questions as if they were meaningful. Now, here's another one about impersonality. And the hint is found among the sub-questions about what impersonality isn't. When somebody disagrees with you, or you do not like a person's attitude, ideas, or proposals, what is the first thing you do? And then DK goes on with sub-questions. So we can test ourselves against these. After what is the first thing you do? Do you love him? Well, I would say that would be a sign of true spiritual impersonality. Do you love him? Do you keep silence? Do you discuss him with others? Do you endeavor to put him right? How do you try to do this? Well, those are some very important concrete ones, are they not? Giving us the hint all the way from the impersonal, spiritually impersonal attitude in regard to which love does not cease when confronted with an opposing opinion, all the way down to taking on the responsibility of straightening another person out. But that can't be done unless the person really wants to be straightened out. Okay, in the last series, if you are impersonal, is it the result of training, or is it natural to you? Is it natural to you? Is it simple self-defense? May I say, so that you don't get touched by the what you detect as an unpleasant contrary position in someone else? Or is it, he goes on to say, is it the easiest way to attain peace? May I say, there are many liabilities to the attitude of peace at any price. Simply not focusing on what another has expressed, if it's contrary to your beliefs, at least you avoid the conflict. Because sometimes there will be conflict as you, if the person is willing, get into a particular behavior and at least try to understand it from their point of view. Or finally, DK goes on, or is it a spiritual attainment? The attitude being natural when contrasted with an attitude which is a spiritual attainment may offer quite a distinction. So let's ponder a little. So friends, expand upon those ideas when you feel so inclined, and when adequate time allows, and maybe you can offer to yourself examples of how you've behaved relative to these questions. The third group of questions or suggestions is about psychic powers, and DK has talked about psychic powers, which are certainly different from lower astral powers. He says, I listed six of them. Please study them and make a clear, concise statement to yourself as to your own capacity. And let me add that DK has sometimes given suggestions such as this to his students, and he has said, and I will hear what you say or think. So what are you going to do with these psychic powers? To demonstrate them? Perhaps not for their own sake, as that would bring in possibly the element of egotism, and the person would want to be appreciated or commended for the psychic powers that he or she had developed. But to utilize them where need arises would be a different thing. And we can also consider this about our capacity to, number one, demonstrate them in the right way, or number two, to develop them, outlining your method of so doing. So we can certainly see, can't we, that these questions or suggestions have to be expanded. How, after all, will we develop these powers? And then what do we ourselves consider to be the psychic powers? Do we agree with Master DK? Let's see. Intuitional response. Sensitiveness to impression, quick response to real need, right observation of reality upon the soul plane. Correct manipulation of force and a true comprehension of the time element. Certainly, Master D.K. has demonstrated all of them, but it's some of them in a very powerful way. So if we agree with those psychic powers, what is our own capacity to demonstrate them? To develop them, and how do we go about doing that? Okay, and then the last one. Just how do you feel that you succeed in keeping a mental grip on life? Well, he's mentioned, has he not, this kind of capacity as mental polarization, maybe as mental focus, and now as a mental grip. It seems to involve the spiritual will of Vulcan, the planet of the grip. That we can ask ourselves that, knowing how important it is. And let me add that our mental grip, if it cuts us off from other areas which have to be objects of interest and observation, will have its own liabilities. So I suppose the question is, do other people disturb us do their attitudes disturb us, so we lose our grip. We revert to old types of psychism in the astral body. We become personal with them. We lose our sensitivity to higher things. So the question before the bar of our soul, just how do you feel that you succeed in keeping a mental grip on life? But may I add one that does not eliminate the possibility of spontaneous love. So going on breaking this question down, in an emotional stress, and which one of us has not had them, or such stressful moments, do you transmute the condition through love? Or point B, do you inhibit the display of emotion, and why? Let me add, we certainly know what the teaching says about these emotional displays, these responses to astral energy. Sometimes we can do something that the teaching tells us we must do, or prevent falling into a behavior that we must not engage in, but we often use the wrong methods. We could use a better method. And the answer to so many of these questions regarding a better method is a kind of spontaneous love. Point C. Do you call in the mind and handle your problems from the mental level? And finally, do you know what glamour is? And can you recognize it when it displays itself to you? And I might add, in you. I'm remembering when some old militaristic past was reawakened by certain circumstances which never should have awakened it. And I could feel the physicality of the glamour, a churning in my solar plexus. It was exciting, self-propelling, and misleading. Of course, there's the problem of the glamour of thinking we recognize glamour where there is none. So it takes a very keen discrimination. But I think that a study of the individual glamours in the book Glamour, A World Problem, and a study of the 9 frequently found glamours in this book, Discipleship in the New Age, will give us a pretty good idea of when a glamour so elusive, so easily slipping away from detection, is actually showing itself, displaying itself. Well, take these into consideration, friends. And we can do a better job if we give ourselves the time to work with the questions as he suggests. And the benefit will be there. He says these questions have a twofold purpose. They will, if you answer them truthfully. May I add, there's always the danger that we will not be courageous enough to do so. And going on, face them clearly. They will, he goes on to say, lead you to deal with yourself as a group member, and so ascertain the measure of your contribution to the group need, and to our need of workers. So let me add that the consequences of working carefully with these clamors, with these questions, with these sometimes quite challenging and even unpleasant questions that seem to put us on the spot, will be spiritually rewarding. He goes on to say, if you will write down and answer these questions and share the replies with your co-disciples, it will give them an opportunity to know each other better. We may assume that a person is thus and so. But if a group member submits his truthful response to these questions, then we shall have a clearer idea of each other and what needs to be done. Well, I think we don't need, in this relatively short program, to go any further. Any further than this. This has really been, in a way, a challenging section. And I'm looking for, looks like page 52. Yeah, it is page 52. So let me go up here to where we began on page 51. Doesn't look like we've covered a lot of ground, but the questions are so important. I have found that honesty with oneself and with others pays big dividends, to use a colloquial idea. So this is the end of 24, program 24, and it goes basically from 51 to 52, because we have been pondering, and we'll begin, when we can, with program 25, and we're still on section 5 there. I won't say it will be today, though I have hopes about it. He begins to expand the whole idea of truthfulness and revelation, and of the kind of both discomfort and courage required to deal effectively with the truth about oneself. We really have to begin with self-knowledge. I think there's an old Delphic oracle injunction, know thyself is the popular one, and know thyself and thou shalt know the world. Now there are deep implications to that, for sure. Yeah, we need to meditate so much upon what the Tibetan has said. A cursory reading will not do. And, of course, as he said, he's given us more than we can ever absorb, but let's at least absorb what we consider for ourselves the hints, the most salient features, the things that strike us as most important. So it's my hope that when you receive this, you will really sit down with yourself, or with your self and not self, and truthfully reveal to yourself what's really going on. I guess the thing for me to do is to make all of these highlighted. I won't get into every bit of it. It's too much. But I'll just again point out how important all of this is. If we want to be trained, truly trained, regarding the path of discipleship and the best way to tread it. Okay, friends, so Tuya and I and Michael, Stacy and Michael Crow and BL and Joe and all those working to bring a deeper consideration through communication of the Ageless Wisdom to you. We wish you lots of love and a good utilization of the material, in which, as you see, every word that DK has written in these series is being presented to you, as well as some ancillary ideas and links which may be of use to you. So we'll see you before long with program 25. Bye for now.